Melissa, thank you so much for joining me.
It's my pleasure.
Can you tell me a bit about the Stitching Exchange and how you got started?
This is a project that I started in 2019. I worked with RISE, which is an organization in Albany that helps immigrants learn English. RISE stands for Refugee Immigrant Support Services Emmanuel. So it started out in a church in Albany. The other partner that I had was Upstitch, which is a sort of a thrift store of all things related to sewing and knitting, where they receive donations, keeping stuff out of the landfill, and then resell it at very inexpensive prices to the crafting community. They have provided me with all the materials that I've needed for free. I received a grant, a community engagement grant, and I started a program with weekly classes at RISE where people could experiment with fabric and textiles. We basically were using sewing as our common language and then would practice speaking English related to what we were doing in the context of sewing or hand embroidery or even quilt making.
The folks who've been involved in this project, have you found that language has been a barrier, or have there always been ways to sort of communicate through, as you say, this common language of stitching?
Well, I'd say that in their lives, recent immigrants to the United States, there are many, many barriers. Daily functioning, taking a bus somewhere, you know, reading paperwork that your kid brings home, it's super difficult. But one of the nice things about using sewing is that we had something tangible that we could point to. People could show me things that they knew how to do that I didn't know how to do in terms of special embroidery stitches, for example. So it also created a sense of joy and community, which are two things that I think people need when they are isolated by not being able to speak the language.
It reminds me of quilting circles or, you know, other kinds of crafting circles that communities throughout history have created as safe spaces to share information. Was that somewhat of your inspiration? Where did this idea come from?
I have a socially engaged art practice, which in part means that I work with marginalized communities and we make something together. We collaborate. There's a co-authorship, and sometimes there isn't even an object as the final outcome. Sometimes it's really about an experience, a conversation. And the idea really comes from the fact that I have been a quilt maker for over 25 years now. I fairly recently went to grad school. After 25 years of making quilts and with a craft-based business, which I sort of put aside while I was in grad school, for a variety of reasons, including the fact that there's still this strange divide between fine art and craft. And I wasn't really sure how to maneuver through that while I was in grad school. Once I got out, I really wanted to sort of put my two sides back together. And Stitching Exchange is really an attempt at that.
Who comes to these stitching events that you have, and how do they learn about it?
Well, the way that I set this up is by working with RISE and actually physically going into the classes, bringing something sometimes as a prop to make in case I was, for example, if I was meeting with the level one learners who are just learning English and telling them that at 2:30 that afternoon, they could come over to this particular location, either right there at RISE or across the street at the Pine Hills Public Library, and that this would be happening. It would be an opportunity to experiment with fabric and sewing and, you know, enjoy each other's company.
Would you feel comfortable sharing a story with me about someone whose life was impacted by this project?
The person easiest for me to talk about is my friend Taslima, who I feel honored and proud to say is actually my friend now after a couple years of knowing each other. She is originally from Bangladesh. She and her family moved to the Albany area about 2.5 years ago. And she began very tentatively attending classes, partly because she had a child who was not yet in school and they don't have childcare available at RISE. So she would come when she could, but she found out about my program and she likes embroidery and sewing. So she started coming to that. And we got to know each other, and I was able to find out things that she needed in the realm of fabric or thread or even a sewing machine. Many people have very kindly donated sewing machines, which I have then passed on to folks who need them, immigrants who have arrived here without very much and are interested in owning one. So then the pandemic hit. And everything got shut down. And just through sheer will and ingenuity, we managed to stay in touch. At that point, she started taking language classes through Sunny's, which is right there in Troy, and was actually given a laptop to be able to take those classes virtually. And that then allowed us to be able to start communicating virtually, as well as using WhatsApp. So now, 2.5 years later, we are working together at the store that Upstitch has one Saturday a month, which is something she really looks forward to. And it's an opportunity for her to get away from home and her kids to practice English. And on a practical level, she's also gaining some experience that she can use for potential job applications, because that is something she would like to have as well.
Oh, that's so fantastic. I actually wonder whether Taslima was the creator of the bag that I picked up at the Troy Farmers Market.
Does it have a word on it? Is there a word?
It does, and it appropriately has the word lettuce written in Bangla on the bag.
So that is a bag that Taslima and I have collaborated on. We made what we called market bags for the Troy Farmers Market. Her and I talk through which words, which produce words to use. And that was based on foods that we both like, foods that are part of recipes that she enjoys making for her family. Her and I worked together to actually coordinate which fabrics would go with which strap fabrics and what fabric would get used for the pocket where we did the stitching. So she put the word using Bangla, and then I wrote the translation of it in English, all of this being done as hand embroidery.
So lettuce in Bangla. It's a wonderful bag.
And I have to say that, I've always been fascinated by language and letter forms outside of English. To me, letter forms in other languages are very beautiful. And Bangla is one of the most beautiful as far as I'm concerned.
How can our listeners learn more about this project or find a bag of their own?
First, I just want to say that the Troy Farmers Market was incredibly kind and generous in giving us a community table for us to be there. And we are hoping to do this again sometime during the holiday season. We'll see if that's possible. I do have an Instagram for Stitching Exchange, which is the word stitch, then the letter N, and then the word exchange.
Is there a way for listeners to support the work that you do?
What we hope to be doing in 2022, I am applying for another grant where we'll be using a time bank system where I will be working with the women to produce beautiful, often functional objects like tote bags or pillows. And people will be able to exchange these for offering the women things that they need, such as a ride to a doctor appointment or help reading through some paperwork that's come home from school that might require a signature. So that is what we are hoping to be doing in 2022.
And if we follow you on Instagram, we'll learn about those developing efforts.
That's right. I also have a website, and I will be updating things there as well.
Can you give us the URL of your website?
It's melissasaris.com.
Thank you so much for taking this time to talk to me about the project. It sounds wonderful. And if you're able to get a table at the farmer's market, I just know that these would make wonderful holiday gifts.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.